You are now entering Pacific Noise Weird. Coming at you live from CITR 109 FM. We're broadcasting from UBC on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Musqueam people, bringing you the latest, greatest, and weirdest noises coming right out of the Pacific Northwest. Pull up a chair, turn out the lights, and let the noise take you away. You beautiful weirdos out there. We have Benton in the studio today. I've worked with Benton a few times across a couple of interviews through Discorder, and this is my first time having him in the station. Hello, Benton.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going today? How's it been? It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Just another rainy Friday, I guess it is, and yeah, it's been a good one.
Yeah, it's a good day to stay inside and make music.
Yeah, definitely.
So, usually when I do these interviews, I like to ask people what got them into music in the first place. What's your very first formative memory of music?
I would probably have to say church growing up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, growing up in church, just like seeing music once a week, seeing live music once a week. I don't think I realized how amazing it was at the time, but I think looking back, I was witnessing some incredibly good musicians every mm-hmm. week, which was incredible. Yeah,
absolutely. I know a couple of friends who are in church choir. Their voices are just unbelievable.
You grow up with it.
You grow up.
Yeah, and then it just kind of gets into you.
Mm-hmm. So now that we've got this out of order, what do you do in the music industry? Like, describe to our listeners what you do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't really know if I would consider myself super involved in the music industry, but I produce. I produce for a number of extremely talented artists in East Vancouver. Mainly to name them, like Dushine and Talon, and then some other upcoming ones that you will be hearing about soon: Revan, ESM Wiggins, YRAB, and a number of others as well who just come through the studio at different times.
Absolutely. And all you listeners out there, keep your ears peeled because I will be putting them on the radio as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what got you started in music? Like you went to church and that got you interested in music because you were just surrounded it and suffused in it. What made you want to start making it?
Yeah. I mean, on top of being in church and hearing it, my mom made me take piano lessons when I was like pretty young. I think I would say like 5 to 8, and I really did not enjoy it when I was that age. And then as I got older, I started playing guitar, I think when I was around 16. I also played drums somewhere in there and wasn't that good at drums, but I really liked playing guitar and just started like writing songs on my own, mostly just for myself, and I still do that just for myself, but... Mm-hmm. That was kind of my guitar, I would say, is like when I was like, oh, I actually like music. I actually like making music. So I did that from kind of, let's see, 16 to like 19. And then when I was 20, I moved to California to a city called Fresno for a year, working with a nonprofit out there. And I had two roommates who were really into, rapping. They grew up in Fresno and they were just like incredible freestyle rappers. Their names were Aaron and George, and I remember just like waking up some mornings and George would just be like having beats on the playing on the TV, and I just walk in, he's like, yo, that's freestyle rap, and I was not good at it, but he just wanted someone to do it with. And so yeah, that year I think really formed my ear and changed kind of like the type of music I was listening to a lot, because mm-hmm. I think just their energy and the energy of the city, Fresno, it's not known as like a very, I don't know, creative city or things like that, but it has these pockets, and the energy I picked up from that, I think really made me want to produce when I came back to Vancouver.
Yeah. What's the difference between like producing music in Fresno versus here in Vancouver?
I mean, I wasn't really producing music when I was out there. I was just very poorly freestyle rapping with my roommates. But yeah, I can't really speak to that, to be honest.
Fair enough, fair enough. So I've worked with you through Flower Bomb Collective and then Talent to Shine. What were you doing before those two projects?
Yeah, so before those two projects, when I got back from Fresno, I linked up with my friend, my friends Paco and Malcolm at the time, and they had done some like little production stuff, and they were learning how to do it. Paco still does it, and he's incredible. But yeah, so I just started kind of learning from them, and then my brother also has always been making music, so I started learning from him as well, and just obviously the YouTube tutorials and all of that. So I started learning how to produce there. I linked up with my friend Cole at the time, and he still makes music, Cole James. Mm-hmm. And he showed me this one song he had like made. Someone invited him to a studio and he just made it and he played it. I'm like, this is so dope. Like, you have to come to my house and make a song right now. So we did that and he dropped that song and it was pretty sweet. Like, I feel like I was in Richmond at the time and everyone in Richmond really liked that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, me and Cole did a couple other things. And I started making kind of like some of my own experimental kind of singer-songwriter music. And so, yeah, and continued making music with like Malcolm and Paco. And it was all just for, yeah, fun at that point. It still is just for fun. But eventually I moved to the downtown east side where I live and where I had been working for a number of years. And yeah, I was continuing to produce for just like friends and other people around. And at that point I met Duchesne and his late friend or our late friend Gladie, who passed away a little while ago. But yeah, and that's when I really started making a lot of music with people in East Van.
All right. So you've been making music in East Van for a couple of years at this point, roughly?
Yeah, it's been like five, I think.
How did you get started in the downtown East Side? Like, what was like your breakthrough point?
I don't even know if I've had a breakthrough yet, but I would say I started working in the downtown east side probably, like 5 years ago now, and I moved there just to be more involved in the community. Mm-hmm. I would say like the biggest breakthrough was actually meeting Gladie, and Gladie became a very dear friend of mine. He would just come over to my house. Him and Duchesne actually would come over to my house just like at random points, and they'd just be like, let's make music. So I had been producing, and they just kind of put a fire under me to keep producing. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, Duchesne actually went back to Rwanda. And Gladie just kept on coming over, and he'd be like, yo, can I pull up to make a song? And I'd be like, yeah. And like an hour later, there'd be like 10 people in my house all trying to rap. And I was like, this is crazy. And so through him, I actually just met so many amazing people, so many amazing artists in kind of like the underground Vancouver scene. Mm-hmm. Just to name a couple, like, everyone I named before, Blah Blah goes crazy. Sneaky Curto is another one who goes crazy. There's a bunch of artists. And mm-hmm. and so, yeah, I met kind of all these people who were at the beginning of their creativity, or like really blooming in their creativity. And I just got to like make music with them in my house. So that's kind of, I would say the breakthrough, and I owe pretty much all of that to Gladie. Yeah,
absolutely.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives.
What about to catch a friend?
favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater, check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
What was your first Brocast setup like? Like, tell me what the very, very first iteration was.
Oh, I don't even know. I would say probably just me and my laptop. I had a laptop because I was going to school. I think it was just my laptop. And then my brother who made music, he has a project called Peace Court. So good. But at the time, he was making music under his own name. And he had a mic. So I think I just borrowed his mic and I had my laptop. Yeah.
Nice, nice. It's definitely a very familiar setup for a lot of people. It's just that, like, you get Audacity out, you get your cheap microphone, and you just go.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I don't think anything good was being made, but.
It doesn't have to be good. You just have to mean it.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good wisdom.
Tell me about your first song, like your first ever own song. I want to hear about that.
My first ever own song, like that I wrote or that I wrote. Man, back in high school, I wrote this song and it was like a sad love song. And I performed it at like something for my grade 12. I don't know what it was, talent show or something in grade 12. And I performed it. And, like, I think people actually liked it, but looking back, it's such a cringe moment for me. But, yeah, I guess that was probably my first song I wrote and, like, completed.
Absolutely. It's a classic high school move.
Sad high school boy.
Yeah, sad high school boy. I definitely remember my days as sad high school boy.
Yeah. Yeah. We all had that time.
Yeah, my very first song I did, it was very heavily inspired by Pink Floyd, but I wasn't good enough at the guitar to make it sound any good. So I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all got to start somewhere, I guess.
Absolutely. Hear that? You can start off being bad. Don't worry about it. In my upcoming Discorder edition, I'm actually doing a quick guide on how to make bad music quickly, like just to get yourself going into the process of making music. I'd love to hear your take on this, because I know my take, but...
Yeah. Can you explain the concept a little
more? Okay, so you're a producer, and you help people, like, get music down and out.
Yeah.
If you were to sit down with someone who'd never made a song before, what would be the advice you give them to get them started?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've been thinking about that, because I want to start teaching some people in the neighborhood to produce. I think the first thing I would do is say, listen to music that you really like, and start by trying to, as you're listening to it, try to like break down the elements of it. Like, and at first it's going to be tough, but like, listen, I'm like, oh, I can hear the hi-hat. Oh, I can hear the guitar. Oh, I can hear this and that. And I think then once you can kind of break it down in your mind, you'll start to kind of have a place, like a concept of the type of music you want to make. Then I would say go on YouTube and like just find some tutorials of how to make like a song like the song you want to make, and just like follow those tutorials exactly, like just keep doing that until you feel comfortable, and then just come up with some ideas, maybe make some changes to like do a tutorial, and now like instead of having, I don't know, if you're making hip-hop, you could do, instead of having the hi-hat like that pattern, you kind of switch up the hi-hat pattern for you. Now you're switching up the kicks. Now you're making it into something, something of your own. And then, I don't know, I met this producer called Sport probably like 5 years ago now. But his whole thing was that making beats is like practice for an athlete. And I think that really changed it in my mind, because he's like, yeah, this beat is just practice. And I'm like, his beats were crazy. But I was like, that's so cool, because it takes off the pressure. Like, this has to be the best beat I've ever made.
Yeah. Like I said, doesn't have to be good. You just have to mean it. But I like the practice metaphor. That's something that I talk about in writing, not music writing, just like general writing. One of the things that I like to do is break things down into three components. We've got strength training, endurance training, and flexibility.
Yeah.
And then like strength training would be using like very concentrated words, trying to narrow your writing down to as small a space as possible.
Yeah.
Endurance is sit down and write until you get tired.
Yeah.
And flexibility in the case of writing would be just changing how you perceive a scene, like changing the different perspectives and foci.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something like what was the name? Sport?
Yeah, sport.
That was what they were talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I think I don't know, like he never kind of broke it down the way you just did, but I think always kind of like creating those little challenges for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in writing, like was the first one speed, did you
strength
say? Strength. And then you had endurance, and then you
flexibility.
Had flexibility. Yeah. And for beat making, like, or making music, you could say, in general, like you could say, I'm just going to make a song in, I have this hour, I have to make a full song in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I need to allow it to be as bad as it's going to be. And then endurance could be like, I'm going to like, I don't know, it just like coming up with different challenges. Like I'm going to make a song, and then now I'm going to see how far I can push this song. Like how many chord changes can I make in this song?
Mm-hmm.
Or like how many verses can I fit? And then I don't know. You could just keep creating challenges for yourself. And I think that's a good way to kind of break out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Creatively.
Absolutely. Makes me want to make music so bad.
You should.
I'm working on it very slowly. I need to get myself, this is why I say this so often, I need to get over my own desire to make something good.
Yeah.
As opposed to making something important.
Hmm.
And that's really hard for me because I spend a lot of time in academia where you have to turn in things that are good.
Yeah.
And the importance is like secondary or tertiary to like turning in a well-written paper.
How would you define the difference between good and important?
Someone could sit down and make the most technically competent song in the world and have absolutely no heart behind it and just make it for like either the money or for just having the clout of having made a really technical song versus making a song that really means something to you. Like it's important to you and you have to get it out, which is the part of art that I really appreciate. Like in my own life, privately outside of the studio, I go and I search out people who make art that isn't necessarily technically well done, but that they just could not stop themselves from making. And that's what really grips me. And that's also what holds me back a lot personally. So I think that's why I find it so important.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like in my experience, often important art is the best art or is the most good because we're humans, and like if I'm creating something from a human real place in myself, everyone else is gonna be able to feel that way more than if I'm just trying to create like, I don't know, something super technical. I feel like you can kind of, I think especially like music's pretty potent example where you can, I think you can really feel it when the person feels it, and you can really feel it when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel really blessed to work with people like Dushine and Talon and everybody else I work with. But those guys in particular, I think they really bring their life experience into their music, and you can feel it, and we feel it in the studio. And I mean, sometimes we're just having fun in the studio and messing around, but when it's time to make a serious song or something like that, they just bring a lot of realness to the music that they make. And they're not trying to be anybody else. They're just trying to make things that are them, almost for themselves, which is, I think, something I always like really enjoy when I'm working with somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
What's, like, the best experience you've had in the studio with someone? You don't have to drop names, but, like, I want to know what your like, most real moment was.
I feel like there have been many. I don't think I could say one moment. I think back to some of those first times that Gladdy and Dushine came over to my house. Mm-hmm. And yeah, janky setup, and I didn't really know what I was doing, neither did they. They were they had a lot of energy just in my house, and I think I look back on those, and I think it was just like a really, we romanticize things in our head, but I think it was just a really beautiful time where there was a lot of just kind of like freedom of expression, and we were all just kind of trying to figure out how to make music, and just like forming these really, really cool friendships. So mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, those are probably some of the best experiences I've had.
All right. Just getting your feet under you, hey?
Yeah. I think it's just, like, to me, music is a human thing. Like, creativity, like, I think we're all kind of made to like, co-create, to be creative, and so I think those moments where almost like you don't know what you're doing sometimes can be so beautiful, because you're just with other people who also don't, and it's just that human connection that really, really makes the music or the art come to life.
Yeah, I definitely, the few times I've had the chance to go and hang out with people and jam have been some like the best musical moments of my life. Just like the chance to be with people and watch them create, and then like pile myself onto that too. It's really something special.
Yeah, it feels good. Eh?
I wish there was like like a book club, but for just jams.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like actually, I've never been, so I can't speak to it, but I have seen that Vancouver Black Library does that sometimes. They just have like little jam sessions. So I don't know, that could be.
That could be a thing that already exists, and I need to look into that.
Yeah.
Oh, my throat's a little dry. I did not drink enough water before this started. Oops.
I got coffee here.
No, I can't have coffee. So you wanted to bring a couple of songs in. So let's talk about that first one.
Yeah. I think the first song that we could play is, I don't know, I have a couple. I feel like I'm kind of being on the spot here, but I think the first one we could play is Long Time by Dushine. That's a song, we had made a bunch of other songs, but that's kind of the first song we dropped together. And he made it kind of as soon as he came back from Rwanda. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a really sweet song.
Absolutely.
It's been a long time. Said she wanna party, now she wanna spend the night. On my waist, I keep a glizzy, I ain't never had a knife. She told me how she feeling, she forever slight. Damn, shawty really done a ride. I told her we'll go boom, 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 boom. Pully Jesse, we go vroom, 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 vroom. Baby, a nigga making money on a daily. She hate me, why I'm with them guys? Forever slight. I got me 55 hoes in the room just for my guys. I need me two shawties with that damn satisfied. I'm booming in the city with my guys getting cash. Yeah, money just really made an older nigga cry. Heard she tryna fuck a wall of Kiff and Lacey, keeps tryna scheme. She pull the lane, she talk too much, I went to sleep. Keep my hands up on my head to grab the stick though. I be getting money, niggas hang, I don't need them. I had to cut these niggas off, they tryna feed me to the wolf. I swear my life is super crazy, keep a gun up in the cool. I can't fuck on your bitch, ain't time to the one, she think I'm cool. She said that she need me, okay baby, me pas toujours. It's
never late. Money make you can relate. Stay with the orchards all the time. They told me niggas fake. I heard that they claiming that they hit us, but they scary. I got too many niggas to feed. You better pay me. I go level up. My mindset just 25. It's a liquid dub. My shit is just 25. She go double cup. Keep her dizzy in the precipice. A nigga tryna play me. She gon' send him to the dirt.
Drip cool, clean. I got a brand new bitch. Dog block. No one's being sad. These things that I be sweet.
So, we've just listened to Long Time by Dushine. Can you give me a little bit of the story on that?
Yeah, this track was produced by myself and a producer in Vancouver called Mikael. And he had sent Dushine a beat while Dushine was in Rwanda. And Dushine had written the entire song. And then he came back to Vancouver. And he knocked on my door, and I didn't even know he was back yet. And he's like, yo, we should, like, I have this song. We should go record it. So I think either that day or the next day, we went to the studio, and he's like, I really like this beat, but some of the parts of it, like, the bass was a bit loud, so we had to figure it out. So essentially I kind of took Mikael's idea for the beat, like the BPM, a lot of the melodies, and I recreated it, added some details, some elements, kind of remixed everything because he just had the beat file and he didn't have the stems for it. So I just kind of recreated all the elements, put them together and added a little sauce in there. And then, Dushine just did his thing. And I think the song turned out so well because Dushine had like written the entire song and had practiced it multiple times. I think we recorded the song in like 30 minutes or something. I think it happened really, really quickly.
Nice. That's a very short time for making a song, if people don't know.
I mean, the production took longer than 30 minutes, but...
But getting something down in 30 minutes is like quite quick.
Yeah. I feel like it often happens that way in hip-hop because it's more about capturing the energy maybe than anything else.
Mm-hmm. There's a question here that I have.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The CM, the CIA, think I'm Queen MC. sep hajj ka siem nisiem nisia ya antas ya khuya talitin homas kwe mustayo.
So you've produced music other than hip hop. What is like the difference? Like you just mentioned that it's slightly different when you produce hip hop. So go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I've tried producing some pop and then some like experimental singer songwriter stuff and some dance music. I would say, for me, kind of something that makes a big difference for me is what I start the song with. If I start it with drums, I know it's going to have a dancier feel because everything's going to kind of fit into the groove of the drums. If I'm starting it with like a set of chords or just like certain sounds, then it's kind of going to follow the first sound that you lay down. I find if I'm producing something that's pop or something that is going to be more like melody based, I try to start with chords. I try to start with like the idea and kind of like the structure of the song, and then I'll add in the drums after, as like, because they're not the main element. Mm-hmm. They're more of just added in to like give a feel of movement to the song. But I feel like really there are these genres that we put things in, but every song has a different process, and it's all about trying to create the feeling that you want to create for the song.
Awesome. Yeah. I guess that makes being a producer quite a personal job to take on with producing other people's music, because you have to take their idea and their dream and fit it into a workflow.
Yeah, I think it is really about trying to bring other people's visions into life. And I think that's also why I said at the beginning I'm not really in the music industry as much, because I really like to know someone before I make music with them. I feel like my personal kind of, yeah, in just personally to me, the way I see life is God is first, people are second, and music is third. And so I always need to keep the person above the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in doing that, then like I can understand who they are as a person. I know there are lots of producers who will just sit down with anybody, but I feel like even those people probably like try to have a little conversation or figure out what's going on with that person before they make the song, because I don't even know how I would do it if I didn't know somebody, because like when I'm thinking about making music for Dushine, I'm thinking about his energy, who he is as a person, how I can make something that's going to push him to like a space in which he hasn't gone before maybe. And the same with like Talon. I'm thinking about who he is and the stories he wants to tell and his life. And I think for me at least, that creates meaning and that creates purpose in creating music.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about who a person is specifically, and I guess also who that person is to you specifically.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. I like the idea of not just the artist being like the person creating the art, but everyone creating the person that is the art.
Yeah. Do you want to break that one down?
Absolutely, I'll break that one down. So there's this idea that when you're around certain people, you act in a certain way. You are a certain version of yourself.
Definitely.
And surrounding yourself with people who help you bring out that musician, that artist, and then also like reflecting who they are in your own art. So like if you bring other people in, they're going to bring their energy.
That's true.
And what you create then is not just you, but who the you are in that group.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you said many thoughts that I've had before. Yeah, it's like that bringing together of your energy with somebody else, and seeing what it creates. And I think that's how, as a producer, you can kind of have a voice, because mm-hmm. whoever you're working with, you're kind of bringing your energy, your perspective into that song. Even though I'm trying to create something that is for like Talon or For Dushine or For Revan or YRAP or whoever it is, I'm like, I can't help but the fact that it flows through me, you know, and in the same way they can't help the fact that it flows through them and those energies meet and something amazing happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Astail.
I love who I am with certain people, and I love getting to see that person that I am turned into art, which is part of why I like doing these interviews for this show, is because I get to see a different aspect of myself reflected in my radio show, and therefore all you beautiful people out there who are listening in can get that too.
Yeah.
And I also really would love to know who you all are out there on the radio listening to us speak, who that makes you. So mail in your music to the station.
Yeah, because I guess it's like even through the radio, it's us. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe more One Direction, but it's our energy hitting those people out there and they're taking it in probably in a small way.
I sure hope so. That's one of the things that I really try to explore in this show is the sound of the Pacific Northwest. Because there's one thing that I grew up obsessed with was that music from the Pacific Northwest, from Vancouver, Victoria, Seattle, Port Angeles, those sorts of places, they don't sound the same as music from like Montreal or Toronto. I had a lot of music from Montreal, but as soon as I started getting into local bands, I noticed there was something that held us all together in a certain way. And trying to nail that down has been impossible. I don't think it's something that can be done, but I really like chasing it down. That's why this show only has people from here who work on music here on it. And that's why you're here. I'd love to know what your take on the Pacific Northwest sound is.
Yeah, man. That's such a good question, and I'm completely with you. I feel like growing up here, sometimes it's hard to see the water that you're swimming in, but I think as I started to listen to a lot of music from all over, I realized, okay, there is kind of a feeling, there is a sound here. I feel like in hip-hop particularly, there hasn't really been a super defined sound coming out of Vancouver as a city. I feel like not all, but many hip-hop artists in Vancouver are trying to sound like someone from Atlanta or someone from LA or something like along those lines. And I've always really wanted to try to define a sound for Vancouver, and that's something that I've really worked hard and am pushing for. And I'm not saying I've done it, definitely not claiming that, but
it's a good goal to strive for.
Yeah, it's something I'm always working towards and trying to create something different. And so, yeah, I think it's slowly getting defined as kind of this underground scene in Vancouver is starting to bubble up, with these artists. And I feel like for so long, Vancouver specifically, really the only music that was coming out of it was like indie rock.
Yes.
And there are some amazing indie rock bands that have come out of Vancouver, and they're so sweet. But for, I think, myself and a lot of people maybe not wanting to make that music or having different experiences, there hasn't been like a sound. And so I think it's a really cool opportunity. And I feel like all the artists I've been talking about over and over again are kind of creating that sound for Vancouver.
Yeah. As always, the good stuff starts from the underground.
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm Nancy Joaquin.
Do Tansi. Ichua, Israel.
Ahlo, Sahla.
I'm at Skype.
Bienvenido.
Unati.
Jack Dunal. Tai, Tai, Tan.
Woo!
You were invited to volunteer for Swississim Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself. Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm. Or visit the Swississim Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road. One of the things that really inspired me back home in Victoria, where I grew up, there were a lot of punk bands, and they were very weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's a band out of Victoria, The Mance. I don't know if you know them.
I haven't heard of them, no.
They're entirely B-horror themed.
Okay.
They wear giant rubber ant masks to play, and all their songs are about being like failed science experiments or monsters or whatever, and it's weird and strange. But that's something that, like, I found in a lot of different punk bands there. I mean, beyond the Cancer Bats, which love them, but there's a lot of that, like, strangeness.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories is a common refrain that I love. Like, as someone who grew up in Bigfoot territory, I get it.
Yeah.
Like ghost capital of Canada, Victoria, BC.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, I try not to think about where all those ghosts came from because that's a little grim for the show. But it definitely suffuses the punk scene there, and you don't see that in like the bigger pop punk bands that are coming out of like California.
Yeah.
Not that they're bad, but there's lacking that weirdness and that edge that you find in the underground stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it's taking whatever kind of the energy of the place is that you're in and channeling that mm-hmm. through music. And I feel like in Victoria there is like a lot of weirdness in a cool way. I don't know if that makes sense.
But no, as someone who's from there, it's weird in a cool way.
Yeah, and so you have like... Yeah, that's dope. Like to wear an ant mask for all your performances, that's so cool. And
I got to see them live a couple of times. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, probably so like weird. Freaky. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. But I like that. And I think really like it's about just being who you are as a person, whatever that really means. But it's about bringing your energy and not... I think as soon as you try to start being like someone too much, obviously we all have references, we all have things that we're pulling from, but at the end of the day, like saying no, I'm gonna create my own sound, I'm gonna wear an ant mask or whatever that is for you, I think is ultimately gonna lead to the best, coolest result.
Yeah. You can also wear an ant mask if you feel inspired. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, true.
Go for it. But yeah, it is important to just find what you can't help but express and then express it.
True. Yeah.
That's what I think.
I like that a lot. You can't help but express. That's so good.
It's like how I walk around in a cowboy hat 24/7. It's a real look of mine. And like I tried when I first came out as trans, 2014.
Yeah.
I went super hard into dressing very femme and like trying to be the perfect girl. Yeah. And that was miserable. Do not do that. If you are trans and you're listening to this and you're not sure what you should do, don't do that.
Unless that's you.
Don't try and force yourself into being a specific way.
Yeah.
Find what makes you the most happy about transitioning or making music or any of this.
Yeah.
And just double down on it. Be as weird with it as you possibly can, because if it makes you happy, if it feels real for you, that's what's going to matter. And it took me 6 years to put my first cowboy hat back on. I used to wear them all the time. I actually worked on a cattle ranch for a while back in the day. So I've literally earned it. But it wasn't real of me to not wear it. So I had to put it back on and really reintegrate the hard butch cowboy look, living in the Pacific Northwest on an island with no cattle ranches.
I mean, but that probably felt really good for you.
Yeah, it felt great. And it feels great to find that person that you can't help but be and let yourself go into it fully.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like none of us can help but feel, but care about how other people see us. I think anybody who says, I don't care about how someone sees me isn't being real with themselves. But I think it's being okay, I do see how other people, maybe if I'm wearing a cowboy hat all the time, some people might not understand it, mm-hmm. but I'm still just going to go ahead and do that because this is who I am. And it's actually I would almost use the word loving to other people because you're exposing them to something else and that you're exposing them to who you are as a person in a real way.
There's a couple of different compounding factors here too. It's you get to be real to yourself and that is healing. You get to be real to other people and they see that they can do it too.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're real to yourself out there, eventually if you keep yourself going, you're going to find people who get it, who see that and they're like, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's, I guess, where we come back around to collabing with music is eventually you're going to find people who hear what you're putting down and you hear what they're putting down and you see that there's something there between you, that there's something real that you share that you can turn into something greater.
Yeah, 100%. It's, yeah, and each of you only have your own energy, you only have who you are as people. And so I feel like any kind of attempt to stifle that or to put it into a certain lane or to be like somebody else or whatever it is often ends up having not as good of a result. I remember I was talking to this incredible producer in Vancouver called Sakani a while ago, and I was like, what kind of stuff are you making? He's like, yeah, I'm trying to make trap beats that sound like 2000s bangers. And I was like, that's so dope. That's insane. And that's nothing, something I would never think of doing. Mm-hmm. But that was his specific energy at that point. And I mean, he makes incredible music. So, yeah.
I mean, I would listen to trap beat party rock in the house tonight. That sounds so real.
I honestly, when you put it that way, I don't know about it, but yeah, I mean, he makes incredible music, so what can I say?
Absolutely, absolutely.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
All right, we are coming up on about 10 minutes left, so is there anything last you want to cover?
Not that I can think of. I feel like we've really talked about the things that are important to me in music, collaborating, being who you are as an artist and as a person and trying to just project that positivity out to other people.
All right. This is the last question I like to ask people after we've had all this warm up and all this discussion.
Yeah.
How would you recommend someone get into producing music or getting to where you're at?
Yeah. I feel like it always just comes down to who is around you. And if there are people around you who play instruments I feel like most people probably know at least one person who plays an instrument. So if you have no musical knowledge, it might just be having a conversation with that person about how to play an instrument. Learning an instrument is a wonderful way to start learning how to produce. If you don't have access to that and you have access to a computer, just going on YouTube and just watching tutorials, I still do that all the time. Also libraries, VPL downtown has studios in it that you can go and you can book them out for free. That's a great way if you want to do some vocals or even just sit. I think all those computers have a program called Reaper, and so you could learn on there. Mm-hmm. So I think the resources are there. I think it just, you just got to put the time in to make it happen.
And to like kind of dovetail into that, it sounds like community is a really important part of this. How would you recommend someone find community here in Vancouver?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Vancouver, it is a harder city to find community in, mm-hmm. I've found and through talking to people than maybe other places. I would say just get involved with your interests. At least in music, I think sometimes people have a bit of an ego or they feel like, oh, this is just something I do for myself. But I think you miss out on so much when you do it that way. I think as you reach out to people and you show people love and you listen to what they're making and learn from what they're making, even if it's not your thing, and you're sharing their stuff and all of that, I think will just build community. And I actually think in Vancouver, in a weird way, it's actually easier to make community that way because there aren't as many people doing it. Mm-hmm. So if you do it and you're like showing people love, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, who is this person who's like showing me love? They must be dope. And then, just going about it that way.
All right. You can also reach out to me via email and I will put your music on the air. And that's a great way to get your name out there, true, whether people like it or not.
Listen to this radio show.
But, go to shows, go to Redgate. Definitely get yourself involved in music scene. It's one of the things that I have found.
Yeah.
It's like actually go to places and talk to people.
Yeah. Dushine's opening for some guys at Redgate on May 19th. I'll be there. Pull up.
Yeah. There you go. And is there anything, like any place people can find your work or anything like that?
Yeah. You can find my project Firebomb on Spotify and all the other DSPs. That's a community-based music project that I've produced. And then you can find Dushine's stuff. You can on his Instagram at Real Dushine. You can find Talon's stuff on his Instagram at It's Talon with a V. And yeah, a lot of their stuff I've produced.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much for coming into the studio today. This has been a great convo.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right. All you beautiful weirdos out there, this is the wrapping up for today. See you next week. Thank you to all you beautiful weirdos out there in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest making noise, making you all of our problems. This wouldn't be the same without you. You can catch this episode as a podcast on CITR 109FM's website under the same name, and I'll be right back at you in a week. Same place, same time, so don't touch that dial. I've been your host, Coraline, and I am signing off for this week. Until next time, you are now exiting Pacific Noise Weird.